This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, it's the Mike Calta Show.
Coming out of my cage, and I've been doing just fine.
It is 8:20 on the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. One of my favorite guests in the studio, the great Carlos Mencia, is here. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm a little sad, dude.
Why?
Well, on the way in, I was listening to you guys.
I always wonder if people do that, if they listen on the way in.
Yeah. I remember I actually met Kevin Spacey.
Oh, really?
And we were in close proximity for a while, and he never did anything
to me. No, right? You were not attracted to him?
No, and like part of me is like, oh, thank God. And part of me is like, what's wrong with me? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really was messing with my head.
Yeah. I understand. What did you do? Did you do a movie or something with him, or were you just...
No, we did an event where they were like promoting like the... a PlayStation or one of those things where they invite all the celebrities to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there was a point in time where we were talking and we were kind of just there. And
didn't even flirt with you.
No, dude.
Yeah.
Which part of me is like, cool, but part of me really is like, well what? Like, why not?
I am flattered when gay guys, like, I took my son to go when he was really little to a Comic-Con one time.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who was a writer for one of the comic books or whatever, and my son was wearing a Green Lantern shirt, and he didn't even see Green Lantern. He just had a little Comic-Con shirt on, and the guy that was writing struck up a conversation, and he said, does he know the Oath? And I go, no, he has never even seen the movie. And he goes, oh, then what about you? Did you do this? And I'm like, this guy is hitting on me. I can hear him. Like, he wasn't just talking to me about it. Like, what are you doing today?
Right.
How are you? And then he was looking at me, and I was like, this guy is feeling me.
So your gaydar went off.
It went off.
Nice.
And I never have that feeling where I'm like, how dare you? I'm like, oh, well, thank you.
Right,
all of a sudden. I'm like, all right, thank you.
That made
me feel sexy.
That's happened to my brother because my younger brother, Albert, when we were kids, he was kind of closed off.
Right.
He was kind of. So there's a place called Los Tacos, and it's in Boys Town in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
So at 2 o'clock in the morning after the clubs are done, it's the place, bro. Like,
Boys Town.
It is just
sounds like it.
Flaming gays. I mean, every kind. And when we were kids, when he was a kid, it's probably 19-ish, I took him there, and some dude hit on him, right? And he was pissed. He was like,
he didn't like it.
I don't like that dude.
Right.
What are you talking about? Like, do I look gay? I was like, bro, relax.
Yeah.
So this was in 1989.
Oh, it was not 88, cool.
89.
It was not cool then. Yeah.
Dude, we went there 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And nobody hit on him? And he was literally pissed. Like, he changed so much from that time to now.
He's not sexy
that this
anymore.
Time he was like, what happened, bro? I go, what? Like, nobody looked at me. I go, dude, is it? You're old, you're chubby, you're not the same guy,
should've
bro. Should
have taken advantage of the first time.
Should have went with the first one,
That's so
it's a trip how we change, you know what I mean? How things, when I was a kid, I never thought, you know what I mean? I never thought when I was a kid that I'd be doing the things that I do now. You know what I mean? Or the stories that I've done.
Yeah, no, you do tell some stories on here where I'm like, you're one of those people, you, Jay Moore, I'm trying to think of who else are people who are like, this is what I do, I'm having fun and having a good life, and I don't give a flying F what you think.
Why should we?
No, you shouldn't, but there are people, too many people that do. Yeah, Jay Moore will just tell you a story and he'll go, what happened, like one time,
but that's what happened
before he married the billionaire. He was like, he was beaten down, he just got a divorce, and he was like, yeah, he goes, I go, were you dating now? He goes, no, I'm not dating. He goes, I can't even get it up anymore. He's like, I have erectile dysfunction because I'm depressed and I'm taking drugs. And I was like, you really are putting a lot out there. He goes, why would I hide it? What can I do? Blah, 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 blah. But then all of a sudden he must have got some Viagra or something because he nailed himself a billionaire. good for him. It seems to be working out. Carlos Mencia is going to be at the Funny Bone in Ybor City. Which
is that weird to say that?
Yeah. It is, because I have to, but I don't even know if enough people know that the Improv in Ybor is now called the Funny Bone.
Right.
Which I just want to make sure people know. So if they're like, well, I'd like to go, I never heard of this Funny Bone before.
Right, right.
Yeah. Why do they do that? A new group bought them, or how does that work out? Do you know?
Okay, so the guy that owns the Funny Bones, his name is Stroop, he's always had a big part of, I don't know what percentage, of this club in Orlando.
Oh, I gotcha.
And so I think it's about 30 to 50 grand mm-hmm. for the improv name.
Oh, so he was
a
like...
A month.
A month?
I think so. Wow. Some crazy number where changing it to the Funny Bones is going to save him like you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So he just and plus that's his company. So he owns all the Funny Bones across the country.
Okay, so he's got a new legacy for himself. He's got a whole new thing. Do you recall what it looks like in there? Did you work last? No, you just got here today.
Yeah.
Did he change it? No. I love that club, but I don't know if comedians like it because it's high. It's got a balcony in it. But to me, that's just like one of the nicest places.
I love it except for the little step behind you.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a stage, and then behind the stage there's another step that I'm always afraid I'm going to hit it and fall backwards or hit it and fall forwards. Yeah.
Please give us permission.
So that scares the living ass out of me.
Please give us permission to laugh and laugh at that if you fall off the stage.
Oh, my God. So a lot of people with cerebral palsy have been coming to my shows lately.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
You putting that vibe?
No, because here's how it works. If I start talking about, okay, so I had a couple of years with transgenders.
Yeah.
Because they start, did I tell the story here? Ron Jeremy story?
I don't know. Tell us again because I don't remember.
So in 1996, Ron Jeremy... introduces me to this beautiful woman.
Yes. You can tell it again if you want, because I barely remember. Okay.
But anyway, basically turned out to be a trans.
Right.
So when I started telling that story, a bunch of trans started coming in the show.
Gotcha.
So I started telling a story about how my aunt, who's also my godmother, she has palsy. And every picture that I've ever taken of her, right, if there's two pictures, there's one where it's like from the belly up of her holding me,
right,
and then there's one that's quote unquote funny of people holding their hands underneath because she has palsy and she dropped me like five times in my life, right? So my dad took those to be funny, like, you like that picture? I was like, yeah, it looks beautiful, and look at the bottom, and then there's like two people holding it
together, yeah.
Right? So I started telling this story about when I was a kid. When I was 8 years old, my cousin Benji, who's my age, got shot in the back and he became a paraplegic. So he ended up at the hospital all the time because of scoliosis. Yeah. He didn't do these raises you're supposed to do so you don't get sores in your butt.
Yeah.
But he got them all the time.
Yeah.
So we ended up at this place called Rancho Los Amigos Hospital in Downey, California. Uh-huh. It still exists. And it's the poor people hospital.
Gotcha.
All right. So I started doing stand-up because I'd go there all the time. When you hang out with people with disabilities who are above a certain intellect, below a certain intellect, it doesn't matter. They don't get it. It's irrelevant. But above a certain intellectual level, you just begin to see them as people.
Yeah.
You ignore their tics. You ignore their tick-tock like this. You don't even see that anymore.
You're used to it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, bro, when I started doing stand-up, they had an intervention for me.
Why?
Because they were pissed that when I hung out with them, I told jokes about them. But when I did stand up, I never brought them up.
Okay.
Right?
So
it went like this. And I'm not making fun of them. I'm just doing a good impression. Hey, Carlos, we're ready after day that they call you the equal opportunity offender because you make fun of everybody. But you never make fun of us. How come?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I go, because if I do an impression of you, nobody's going to think I'm like, nobody's going to go, oh, that's a good impression.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's the one impression that the better you do it, the more people get pissed.
You know what jerk I mean? You are. Yeah.
You do Bill Cosby and go, blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, Bill Cosby. You do cerebral palsy good.
Nobody's mad. Everybody's mad.
Everybody's pissed. Everybody's pissed. And so I was trying to explain to him, like, I can't do it because they're not going to understand. They don't get us.
Right.
They just see they you as this thing. Yeah, and they don't see, they don't get this. And I go, if you laugh, they're going to get mad at you.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go, well, if he wasn't laughing, Carlos wouldn't be able to do the joke.
Right.
And so this kid named Marcus is listening in the back, and I go like this, and that's why I won't do an impression of you, because of that. And Marcus goes, or maybe it's because you're an effing pussy.
Oh.
Straight up, dude. Straight up. And I was like, what did you say?
He called you a pussy with extra spray.
Oh, call me a pussy with extra spray.
Yeah.
And, dude, we had so much fun. I remember one time, there's this kid named Jeffrey who hates cheese.
Right.
Loves cheeseburgers.
Okay.
So I remember, like, these are the moments where it made a difference in my comedic life later. Because we're hanging out, and I go, you like cheese, but you...
Hate cheese,
but love cheeseburgers? Like, how does that work? Because that's cheese. And one of the kids with palsy goes, that's because he's retarded. I'm like, you can't say that, dude.
He can say it.
Exactly. That's what they said. And so when I started doing those stories, you know what I mean? They come up. So what happened was, long story short, I said to the guys, okay, listen, next time I do a show for you guys, I'll do an impression.
Right.
Because I feel safe. And they go, okay. 2 months later, dude, I get a phone call from McDonald's Corporation if I want to do a show to benefit, to raise money
right.
for kids with disabilities at the Ronald McDonald School for the Handicapped. Oh, that's what it used to be called.
Yeah, yeah.
In East LA, where I grew up. Like, yeah. I know the school. Benji, my cousin, he went to that school.
Right.
So I was like, of course I'm going to do it. They would have it. I show up. And whoever sat the room didn't understand. You can't put people with severe disabilities in the front row.
Oh, for a comedy show.
No, like, give me people that could laugh.
Yeah, I
get that they're there. I get it.
Right.
But it's just, you know what I'm saying?
You're not playing to that.
Yes. Yeah. So, dude, I swear, the one quarter of the front toward the right, they're all cerebral palsy, and they sat them all together.
Oh.
And, dude, and they're all palsy, so they're all shaking and moving. And I swear to God, I literally start getting kind of seasick, so I start cheating to my left.
Uh-huh.
As I cheat to my left, there's a guy with a respirator just staring at me and just... And I'm like, what? Guys, come on. So I go, dude, just get yourself together. Just get yourself together. And I start getting into it, and I start doing jokes, and I start talking about growing up across the park and all this cool stuff. And they're, dude, it's going great.
Get into it, yeah.
I'm watching a timer. 22 minutes and 38 seconds into my show, the kids with cerebral palsy start the chant, you're an effing pussy. So imagine, just to go, you're and everybody's, yeah. And I
nothing
just.
Nothing is synced.
And I, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I have no idea what to do. And then Marcus looks at me and he goes, I had to accept that I have cerebral palsy, and you have to accept that you're an effing pussy. And it hit me hard, dude.
Yeah,
and I was like, nope, nope. Not gonna happen. I'm about to do this impression, and I looked at the people in the back,
right?
And I said, guys, I'm about to offend you. I'm sorry, but these guys really want me to do an impression of cerebral palsy. As I was talking, bro, in my head, I went, I don't know what the word canceled was. It didn't exist at the time, but I knew getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And I knew, like, this might ruin my budding beginning career. So as I was talking, I was allowing spit to gather in the back of my mouth so it would get whiter
right.
because I'm like, I'm going to do an impression. I'm going to spit it out and white stuff's going to come down the side of my mouth.
Right.
And it's either going to be hysterical or I'm getting canceled.
Right.
And dude, that's exactly what happened, bro. I let it out. I go, you're going to want. And I kind of put them on the line because I looked at the palsy section and I go, you want me to do an impression, right? And they were like, a good one. And I was like, there it is. That's my key. And dude, I did it. I contort my body. I start talking. Spit comes out of the side of my mouth. Pandemonium, dude.
The people
in the back who are normal, you know, quote unquote.
Right.
They're not laughing.
Yeah, they're afraid.
Oh, they're not laughing.
Yeah.
But the kids in the front are dying, bro. Dying. I'm stuck on stage, and this kid stands up because all the other kids with palsy started going, Tommy Carlos looks just like you. All right? So Tommy gets pissed.
Yeah.
Tommy stands up and goes, shut the F up. And everybody's quiet. And I'm on stage like, man, I can't believe this is happening to me. Everybody's quiet. and Tommy goes, I don't look Mexican. And the whole place goes ape. You know what I mean? And so I've been telling that story, right, going back to what you were talking about. And I was performing recently in Kansas City. And this guy, like palsy, but like hoppy palsy, not just like he was like kind of jumpy and walking. And he comes up and he goes, hey, man, I have cerebral palsy. Thank you so much. Can we take a picture? And I take a picture with him. And, bro, as he walks away from me, he falls.
Oh.
Dude, and the whole room where I'm taking pictures, it's full.
Right.
It's the beginning, right? Because I let him cut in line. And so everybody's quiet. And I'm just like, oh, my God, he fell. Like, Jesus Christ, what's going to happen here? And he just pops himself right back up, and he goes, happens all the time. And he just walks away, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So I've been getting that a lot.
I've been in the crowd before, and a comedian will make a fat joke. Yeah. I don't feel as nice as the palsy people do about it. I don't know. I'm not like, that was great. Do it again.
You don't feel included?
No. I liked it better when you didn't see me.
You don't like when they remind you that you can't see your penis anymore?
Yeah, that's
not funny anymore.
A lot of that goes on. Hey, by the way, though, you bring that up. Every time, I would say a majority of the times I get up in the middle of the night and I go to take a leak, you know, I look down and I see my penis and I go, I don't understand what, I mean, there must be a certain kind of fat where you can't see your penis anymore, or maybe I have an okay sized penis, but I can still see it. I've never not seen it. I know what it looks like. I could draw it if I had to.
Has any of it disappeared?
Yeah, I don't see the back. I don't see the back part of it, right, but I can see the front part. I know he's still there. So funny.
You must have a decent sized penis.
I think I'm okay. I don't think I would, nothing to brag about, but I'm just saying.
Well, think about it. There are guys who flaccid.
Yeah.
2.5 inches.
Yeah. I have to tell you.
Think about a 2.5 inch to a 3.5 inch flaccid and a gut that goes over 5 inches.
Right. My gut is.
You know what I'm saying?
My gut is above it.
Right.
And
lift the fat. You can do that.
Yeah. There is times in a flaccid state where I am alarmed at, I say it looks like a bird's nest with a little baby egg inside
baby
it. Yeah. But it's like an Avenger when called for duty, it shines. Yeah. You know what I mean? It never has any
problem.
You're
a grower, not a shower.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's like a knife. You put it in its little sheath when you're not using it, and you pull it out when you're ready to fight.
Right.
So I'm just keeping it there.
I know, and I'm not circumcised. Yeah. So for me, that goes double.
You really have the sheath.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they say that you have a lot more feeling when you don't get circumcised.
So
like
much
that.
More. Well, I don't know. I can't compare.
Like, I'm happy with mine.
I don't know. Tell me what it feels like, Kevin.
I always wonder about that because neither one of us would know. I don't know because I've always been that way.
Right. Here's what my doctor said.
Yeah,
because I went with my cousin to the doctor one time who is circumcised, and we asked the doctor that question, and he told my cousin, he goes, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your arm as if you're holding a dumbbell close.
Right.
Hold it like that for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And he held it like that for a few minutes, and then it kind of got sweaty right in between the arm.
Yeah.
And on the opposite side of the elbow, and he goes, okay, now open it up, and he goes, touch that part, and then he goes, touch the other part. Which one's more sensitive? He goes, oh my God, this one's so much more sensitive. He goes, that's what it's like for him. The head of his penis never touches anything while yours hits the side of your stuff, hits the front.
So
you're a little desensitized. Like, he just feels everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, which sounds great, except, you know, people like me suffer from premature ejaculation.
Oh, really? Because of that?
Well, think about it. I mean, it's covered the whole time, and then all of a sudden it comes out, and somebody touches it. It's you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, so I'm good for round 2 and 3. That's what I'm good.
You got to get one out of the way first. I get you.
Yeah, exactly.
Question. Have you seen the George Lopez video of him walking off the stage?
You know what sucks, dude? I don't like talking smack about the comics. It's just something I don't like doing. So it stops me sometimes from posting stuff.
Right.
But the minute that happened, I wanted to post something that said, I find it ironic that people are mad that he gets off early, because I literally get in trouble for staying on too long.
Too long. Yeah.
Like, I literally the opposite. For me, it's like, oh, Carlos, he's supposed to get off and stayed on for like 45 minutes after. It's like, so I get it. Like people aren't happy.
Nobody gets mad. The only people that get mad about that is the wait staff. the fans love it. Like, I remember Ralphie May. Yeah, Ralphie May would go, like, for an hour and a half. You know, he'd just be on a roll. And I'm in there. Before I was friends with Ralphie, I'd be like, how could this guy? He's just killing. This is great. Right. My head would hurt, you know, from laughing.
Right.
And then I realized the only people that are mad are the wait staff because they want to go home. Everybody, but nobody else is complaining. But anyway, he for those people who don't know, George Lopez was on stage at a casino.
He didn't even get heckled, by the way. No, it wasn't even a heckle.
They were just drunk, excited yelling people, out. I think.
Excited, yelling out. Stupid stuff.
It wasn't like they were trying to interrupt his jokes. They were just, you know, giving him like a lot. And one lady said, I want to buy you a drink.
Right.
And instead of just ignoring her or telling her, hey, thanks, but shut up, you know, he got mad like a baby and walked off stage.
He's been doing it long enough that he's like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this.
With it, right?
Ugh, yeah. You people. Yeah, well, but here's the thing. And I knew this was going to happen, and I told all my comedy friends, dude, we're going to start getting heckled more and more and more.
Yeah.
And my friend's like, why? Because of the audience and people change? I go, no. Because all these comedians are posting heckling stuff. Video, and instead of writing a joke and then going, I'm going to post that joke, they start doing crowd work.
Yeah.
And so all of the stuff from, you know, all of these comics, it's them talking to the audience talking back.
Yeah.
I blame
Mark Norman.
What was that?
I blame Mark Norman.
Is he the one that started it?
Yeah. He started doing the crowd work and posting that. They say...
Wasn't it Heathcliff or Hedgecliff?
Tony Hedgecliff.
Was it Tony and those guys?
No.
What about the young kid?
Matt Rife.
Is it Rife doing it too?
Yeah. That's all he did.
Yeah. So all these guys are doing that. So, I mean, dude, I've had people yell out stuff that I don't... Where was I? Oh, 2 weeks ago. I was at a casino in California... And a guy just yelled out, but it's a tetacatumba. And I was like, what? And then somebody goes, he wants you to talk about the president of El Salvador. I go, dude, I don't care about our old ass president. Why would I care about El Salvador? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
But it is interesting that Honduras, Salvador, but Honduras and Mexico have beat the United States of America in misogyny because they've actually had a female president.
Yeah.
And we still have
it. We still have it,
That's crazy.
What is the guy's name who it was in Scarface who used to walk out with the big radio?
Angel Salazar. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. In like 20, 30 years ago, I saw Angel Salazar in Miami at the Improv there in Coconut Grove. And this guy next to me was yelling out, and I couldn't understand why. And the waitress came over and she said, you can't talk during the show. And his exact response was, I'm just helping him out.
Right.
People think that. They think they're supposed to be part of the show.
That's what they think.
Oof.
That's what they think.
That is brutal.
And so, but listen, it's gold. Like this weekend, I had a girl. I can't post a lot of this stuff because there was a 16-year-old girl with her brother.
Careful what you say next. I'm just kidding.
Listen, the thing was that toward the end of the show, we started talking about their parents having sex. And of course, it just goes down this crazy road.
Right.
But you can't post stuff like that because they're under age. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of edgy.
You guys have to worry about that now. I was with Bobby Kelly, and he is a really good video guy. They take clips of his stuff and they put it out there, and he made him pull one down. And I go, that's hilarious. He goes, I can get in trouble for that now. And I went, oh, that's got to be horrible to have this job and think about that. Like, you can't even be funny without having to worry about somebody getting uptight about it. That wasn't even at the show.
And YouTube is worse than a network.
Yeah.
Right? Because a network, like if I went to ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever it is, and said, I got this much money, I want to spend it, they'll be like, well, what time slot do you want? What show do you want? I'd say, I want it on this show for this time slot, AGT, blah, blah, blah. The problem with the algorithm now on YouTube is that you don't know, they don't know what video is going to go to what advertisement.
Right.
So, bro, like videos that have profanity on it.
Uh-huh.
They put limits on it.
Oh, yeah.
Videos. I had a friend that had a video that went really well, and then it just stopped. And we tried to find out what it was, and it was because he said the word bullying in it. I got bullied when I was a kid. The word bullying itself suppressed the video because the algorithm doesn't know if you're doing for or against.
No. They don't send sarcasm. I put a video up one time and I said something to my son and then I told him I was going to punch him in the eye.
Right.
And it took me down for violence.
Yeah.
I was like, it's my son. I'm not going to hit him.
You're really not going to. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people started saying unalived themselves.
Yeah.
You can't say suicide. Because it will get marked and get pulled if you talk about suicide.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like that kind of stuff. Like it's even worse. It's like this whole thing is worse. But here's the thing. It's that people think they're important.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't grow up that way.
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, I swear to God, when I was about 8 years old, and I'm one of 18 kids, remember that. So I'm the 17th born of 18 kids. First of all, my dad used to play a song for us when we were kids. And it's literally
Let me
called
remember your name.
In this
There's Carlos and Chichu and Tati and Mara.
Dude, if my family, just my family, was stuck on Gilligan's Island, we wouldn't be able to get to the end of it. Because you know what I mean? Andorra, Casimiro, Roberto, Roberto. Like it would be like, how many people are on this goddamn island?
Let's do like Goodwill Hunting, when he lies and said he was the, and she's like, name all your
Tommy, no, see, I'll remember him.
You're right.
But here's the problem. Whoever I say last will get a phone call. I have a cousin that's not far from here. So he's listening right now.
Right.
So whoever I say last, I'm going to get a phone call later on. It's usually like Martha or Olga or one of them, or Maribel, because she would be the last one because she lives here in Miami. She'll give me a call and be like, so I'm the last one? Remember when you were a kid and you broke your leg and I took you to the hospital? And I'm the last one? And then it cost me like a really nice dinner at a Michelin One restaurant.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I now just refrain from doing it. But we have funky names. Like I have a sister named Dorca.
Dorca?
Dorca, D-O-R-C-A.
That's great.
Yeah, in Spanish, it sounds awesome. Dorca.
Yeah.
Once you go to English.
Once you go to high school, it's not fun anymore. Yeah.
Well, yeah, when I named my son, I had to pass the names through my dad.
Right.
Through the filter of his accent.
Oh, to see what it would sound like when he was saying
So that. I wanted to name my son Sean.
Uh-huh.
That was the name I had picked for my son.
Sean?
Yeah, exactly.
Sean.
I go, Dad, say Sean. He goes, Ton. I'm like, nope, not going to happen. Because in my family, everybody has a nickname.
Yeah.
So his nickname would have been Chan Chan or something stupid like that.
Right.
But here's the problem.
I
said Lucas, and he said Lucas. You know, he goes, Lucas, it was cool. But now people call him Luke. So when my dad says look at Luke, it's so hysterical because he's like, look at Luke. Like, what? Look at Luke. Like, what is look at Luke? Like,
look at Luke.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to run it through the filter of my dad. But yeah, I have all that family, and, you know, it's. He used to play a song called In This World, Nobody is Indispensable. Right? So he taught us that we were special to him.
Gotcha.
But not to the world.
Right.
So when I was about 8 years old, he literally said this to me. My dad goes, Mijo, you're my favorite. You're the smartest one of all my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you so much. But if you die, I'm not going to miss you. I swear to God. I swear to God.
I got 17 more.
And I was like, yes, that's exactly what he said. And when I made a face, he got mad at me.
Yeah.
I got sad and he was like, why are you so selfish? Uh-huh. You're already dead and you want me to be mean to your brothers and sisters? I'm like, I'm not dead, dude. I'm right here. I'm in your face. So
do you think he told all of
it? It was different.
Did he tell all of your siblings that they were the favorite and the smartest?
No, he was really, really honest.
Really?
Like, if you would have lined up my mother and father when, you know, we were teenagers or preteens, you know what I mean? She would have told you. Like, my mom would have said to my three oldest sisters, this is what my mother, and I've heard her say this, by the way, but she would have said it, like, to your fist. If you would have said, like, what about your three daughters? She would have been, well, that one right there, her name is Anna. She's very smart. She's going to go to college. Her other one, that's Marta. She's crazy. She's a whore. She's going to have like so many penises. And then we're like, what about the other one? She's like, I don't know yet, but I think she might be okay. Like,
no, just
like
straight up. Yeah.
Like, just real. You know, she's the kind of mom that when I have a weekend where I eat too much, just for a weekend, I get back home and she goes, oh, you got fatter. What happened? Like, she's, you know what I mean? Just straight up brutally honest.
Yeah.
I remember when I first met my wife and we introduced her. I go, listen, my mom might say something that sounds callous.
Right. That's
she's
how she is.
Just being honest. It's not, there's no judgment to it.
Yeah.
So if she says that you're fat or you're tall or whatever, just understand.
It's what she sees.
She's, and she's not trying to say anything bad about
you.
And so she had to, like, my wife had to learn so many, like, cultures.
Oh, you know? Is she straight up white chick, your wife?
She's from Oregon.
Oh.
Her family's from Portugal.
Okay.
So she kind of gets it. But I remember the first time she goes, let's let's have a barbecue and invite your family. Uh-huh. I go, you want to invite my family? Uh-huh. Well, invite your mom. I go, okay. I knew what was going to happen. So she calls my mom and says, come over. And I go, we need to prepare for about 125 people to show up at our house.
That's right. Once the floodgates are open, right. They're
and all
coming.
And she goes, no, I just invited your mom. I go, yeah. And my mom right now is calling everybody in the family. And she goes, no, that's not going to happen. And I go, yeah, it is. She's like, what's it going to RS? Like, they're going to call me and tell me. I'm like, nobody's going to call you with a count. Nobody's going to call you and go, oh, just so you know, I invited. She's going to invite everybody, blanket statement.
Yeah.
And normally everybody doesn't come. But because I'm Carlos Mencia,
yeah,
nobody's going to want to be like hurt my feelings, right, so they're all going to come.
Show up, yeah.
So they all showed up, bro. One showed up with a goat.
Wow.
Like somebody showed up with a goat, and my wife is so stupid. She goes, "Oh, it's like a petting zoo." I go, "Wait for it, wait for it," and you hear bah, gunshot, and I go, "There it is. Go out back and see what happened."
Wow.
And dude, she goes out back and she goes, "They're stabbing a goat in the neck." Yeah. I'm like, "No, that's just to bleed it out so that the meat is tasty." And so it was, and then after that, three people showed up with chickens, and my mom took care of that, bro. My mom just grabbed the chicken. Grabbed it by the neck, flipped it three times.
Really?
Threw it on the floor. Neck? Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And she did it to all three of them. And then, and then you know, you dip it in hot water. You put hot water, and that's how you take out the feathers. And it smells like wet dog. Oh my God. That stink is like, oh, it's so horrible.
I'm thinking of the parallels in my head of an Italian family. Yeah. Because my great-grandfather would wake up and say, Sadie, let's have a barbecue today.
Right.
And then he'd make one phone call.
Right.
And then they would all call each other and say, and then I'm like, but nobody's showing up with chickens or anything like that. But I did see my Uncle Joe one time pulled an eel out of I was fishing and I caught an eel.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that's pulling a snake out of the water is what it is. And my Uncle Joe picked it up by the tail and whacked it against the bulkhead on the deck until it was dead, and then gave it to my grandmother. She stripped it up, and we had eel that night. And that's the equivalent of, I mean, we didn't go get the pet, bring it there, and shoot it and bleed it out, but still, we were pulling things out and killing it right there on the property.
But that's normal. Like, my mother to this day, if I ask her, Mom, I haven't had mole. Mole is this really deep Mexican dish. Yeah. It's chocolate chicken.
Yeah.
She won't go to the market. She'll literally be like, okay, can you take me? I go, no, but Albert will, my younger brother. And he'll take her to this place in East LA where it's kind of like one of those restaurants that have the lobster things.
Yeah, where you go pick it out.
Yeah. You walk in and you point to a chicken or a rooster.
Yeah.
And they take it away. And, bro, here's the weird part.
And then your mom has to extinguish it or it does?
No. They kill it in the back. But the weird part is when they bring it to you, that through the paper you can feel how warm it.
Oh, it was just alive.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you could feel that it was just. Oh, that creeped me out.
I don't want to know. I don't want to see all. I just want to eat it.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing. My parents like got me accustomed to doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So it's you're not. It's not awkward to you.
No. So we had a pig, right? When I was 10-ish, we had a pig that had 15 little babies, but only had 14 nipples.
Right.
So my dad goes, just wait about a day and a half and we're going to find the one. And so about a day and a half later, there's one in the corner. Now, 2 days later, he's smaller than the others already.
Right.
So my dad goes, you see that one is going to die. So take care of it. In the morning, after we milk the cows, give them milk, feed it. Dude, I fed it till it became the biggest pig we had.
Oh, nice.
Right? Huge. Named him Larry. Named him Larry, bro. He was my pet pretty much.
Yeah.
One morning, bro.
Bye-bye, Larry. Yeah.
I wake up to a gunshot. I was like, what's going on? I run out back. It's Larry, dude. I come back in the room crying. I go, Dad, they killed Larry. And my dad goes, well, what did you think we were going to do? I was like, well, I thought you were going to let it live forever. Like, and we hadn't had protein because we lived out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
We hadn't killed the chicken. We hadn't gone fishing. So we had had rice, beans, and dairy products for like 3 to 4 weeks straight. So, dude, everybody's eating this pig, bro, and I don't want to eat it. And then
Yeah, it's staring you in the face.
Bro.
You smell it. You smell Larry.
In the minute that I ate Larry, bro, everything changed. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? You bringing a goat to my house and killing it. Yeah, don't care. It's no big deal. I don't care what his name is.
People say that all the time, like, at the schools here, you could buy, like, you could take an agricultural class where you get a cow. You buy the cow and then you raise it and then they take it to auction and sell it. And that's what they do. And then, they make like a charity fundraiser, but you could buy into this pig or whatever or cow. And people are like, oh, I couldn't raise it and then eat it. I would talk to it during the years, go, one day I'm going to eat you. One day I'm getting it.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah. I'd be like, come on, Larry, eat this. Fatten it up, Larry. I would just let him know one day you're going to make me very happy.
You know what's funny? I would do that now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if I was on the farm today, I would definitely do that now. But back then, I was 10, bro. I was
kid. You're a little kid. That's different
story. Traumatized, dude.
That's like me going outside and my dog is gone, and then all of a sudden we're eating dog feet. This is Carlos Mencia. He is going to be at the Funny Bone in Ybor City, formerly the Improv. 8644000. It's been a while. I don't know. For some reason.
Does anybody call anymore now? Just go online, right?
I guess everybody goes online now. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still old. So I'm old. I'm old now. I got to double check, make sure people still work there and all that stuff. You can go to Tampa Funny Bone, I imagine. TampaFunnyBone.com.
It's TampaFunnyBone.com. Or go to CarlosMencia.com. And then you click on it and you get over.
Click and buy your tickets that way. Where have you been? What have you been?
Dude, I've been everywhere, bro. Yeah. Right now, it's like, you know what? It's funny. There were a few times in my life where I felt a calling to stand up.
Right.
One of them was 92 during the riots, because I'm from LA, I was able to make fun of the rioters. I was able to make fun of the blacks. Right. I was able to make fun of the Koreans. I was like able to get in that world and really get into it. The next one was September 11th. I remember.
Time to be
it
funny.
Happened on a Tuesday, and I remember on Friday, I was watching Chris Rock at the Laugh Factory.
Uh-huh.
And anytime he mentioned anything about the 11th, you could see the audience perk up.
Yeah.
But then every other comedian went on. Nobody did jokes about it. They just would go like, man, crazy, right? And you'd see people go, crazy how? But nobody was wanting to do a joke about it. And I remember watching that going, I'm not afraid to do jokes about that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you find an album, it's called America Rules. That album was written between the 11th and the 19th of September.
What do you remember? What was your first September 11th joke? Like, what did you have? What did you come out with?
Well, first, I think the what started it was they messed with the right airlines, right? Because I don't know if you remember this, but they were on American and Delta and United.
Right.
Right. They didn't mess with Southwest Airlines.
Right.
But Southwest Airlines at that point had killed somebody. I don't know if you remember the story where there's a guy on a Southwest Airlines who said, I'm going to open the door. And he started running toward the door. The people in there stopped him. By the time the plane landed, he was dead.
Yeah.
So they literally killed the guy on a plane.
Southwest. They picked the right airline.
So the first joke was that they didn't go there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think, man, it was so long ago, but I think I did the black guy, the Latino, and the redneck coming together. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think the joke went something like, when the cops came in, they were like, what happened? And then the redneck was like, well, this brown guy over here started saying la, 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 running toward the back. And then he tripped and fell over there. And then the black guy was like, yeah, man, he just tripped over something. I don't know what happened. And then the Mexican, you know what I mean? So that was the whole, it started that. It was, but you saw September.
It's ballsy to come out of the gate between the 11th and the 19th.
Never been afraid of that.
It's not, like, it's not
never
so much
been afraid of that.
It's like, here's the deal with radio, right? So we went to 24-hour CNN at the time.
Correct. I remember.
And we had nothing to do. And I said to my boss after like 2 days, I'm like, well, when do we go back to work? When do we start doing things the way we used to do?
Right.
And he said, you know what we're waiting for? Letterman. Wait till Leno and Letterman start getting on and making jokes again.
I don't
know if it'll be okay. So really, it was based on comedy. I mean, when when they felt like the comedy kings at the time,
right,
were ready to go, then it's ready for the rest of the world to go. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure on comedians.
Yeah. And, you know, it was like this. HBO was like, it's a little too raw. It's a little like, they're like, this is amazing, but we got to let it settle a little bit. And then it just kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and I never did it. But, like, I was going to do a special that was literally just all about that.
Oh, wow.
But then I get it, because at the time, I didn't know how to smile as much on stage. Mm-hmm. So people thought that I was angry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird. I've always been intrigued by that. The fact that I'll have people say to me, like, why are you angry or something like that? I go, I got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I didn't get a standing ovation because they're mad at me.
Right.
They were laughing so hard that at the end of the show, they stood up. But if you don't pay attention to their laughs and you just look at me, I guess what it is. And I was hanging out with Santana the other day, and he was like, Brother Carlos, it's because you're intense, bro. You're intense, man. So I was like, it's intensity. He's like, intensity scares people.
Yeah, they can't tell the difference. By the way, Brother Santana is here this weekend, too.
Is he?
Yeah, on Sunday.
Oh, I did not know that. I might stay an extra day. Oh, and I didn't even talk about this. I just got a residency at Harrah's in Vegas.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah, so starting at the end of this month, every weekend till the end of the year, I'm at Harrah's.
Are you starting at the end of June?
At the end of June, beginning of July, every Sunday and Monday.
I'm going out for the McGregor fight.
Come by every Sunday and Monday.
Oh, that might be great. I might hit you up.
Every Sunday and Monday, I'm going to be at Harrah's, bro. So,
I'll have my son with me, and my son is, I want him to experience all the good stuff in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, LA. Yeah. I have all kinds of hookups over there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You got to hit me up. My best friend, Enzo, one of my best friends in the world, has a restaurant. I think it's at Encore.
Okay.
It's an Italian spot.
All right.
I'm going to hook you up.
All right. Yeah, for
and
sure.
You're going to sit down and you're not going to ask for anything.
That's the best way to do
He's
it.
He's just going
to
hook you up. Unless there's something that you really, really need and want.
I know. Look at me. I'm pretty happy with everything.
Yeah. He's, oh, you're going to love it, dude. It's called Allegra. It's amazing, dude. Enzo from Allegra. Oh, man. It's going
to
be awesome.
All right. Good. Yeah, I want everybody to go see Carlos this weekend at the Funny Bone in Ybor City. Formerly the Improv.
And don't come if you're easily offended. Seriously. Because we're going to make fun of everything. Like,
yeah, even cerebral palsy people have no chance.
Oh, there might be somebody with palsy.
Yeah.
You might be sitting next to somebody with palsy.
I know I brought this up to you before, but I want to bring it up just because on this note again.
Yeah.
I have had you on the show a bunch of times. I've had Brad Williams on the show a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And it took like 3 times before I realized that the whole way Brad Williams got into comedy was you were making fun of midgets and he was at the show.
I literally had half the audience is laughing.
Yeah. And you did not realize.
Literally half.
Yeah.
Like, you literally go down and this side is laughing and the left side isn't. And I literally stopped and went, is there a midget over here?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, is there a midget over here? And I see the little hands go up. And I go, come up on stage. And I go, dude, it was just comedy gold because a dwarf comes up on stage.
Right.
And I get him a mic and I go, so where do you work? And he goes, Disneyland. Eruption. Eruption.
Yeah.
And then I go, what do you do there? And then we found out, see, this is why I hate political correctness and all this wokeness and all this kind of stuff. Dwarves, actual people with dwarfism, cannot be dwarves when they do the reenactment plays of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Too small?
No. It's offensive.
Mm. To dwarves?
Yes. So think about that.
Yeah, I guess.
Dwarves are not going to get paid to be dwarves because it's offensive to dwarves. So instead, we're going to give that money to average-sized men.
So what did he do at Disneyland?
So his job was, he was a bodyguard for Mickey and Minnie.
As a little.
Exactly, because Disneyland doesn't want somebody that looks like you or me running up on 5 and 8 year olds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have a little person guy who can kind of manhandle children.
That makes more sense, yeah.
Next time you have him in, have him tell you stories about when he got a little aggressive with children.
Kids.
Yes.
Some tough kids.
So so it's hysterical. We have a dance-off at the end of the night.
I love it.
Cut to a year later, performing at the Improv. So this was at the Improv in Brea, California.
Uh-huh.
So a year later, I'm performing at the Improv in Ontario, California. And he shows up. Yo, Los, I've been doing stand-up for a year.
Really?
I got the bug. You brought me on stage, and I just can't get rid of it. I love doing this. And he goes, and I'm just here to see the show. He walks away. And my wife goes, Ned, you should put him on. And I go, oh, I'm not sure. my brother Albert comes up and goes, bro, he's going on, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, guys, you guys don't understand young comedy. When we're young, too young, and they put us, if I put him on and he bombs,
right,
this is going to hurt him for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's going to mess with his ego, with his confidence. Like, I don't want to put him in a situation where I want to nurture this kid. I don't want to put him in a bad situation. What if they don't laugh?
Yeah.
And I sort of got, my brother looks at me and he goes, he's a midget. They're going to laugh, stupid.
This is true. He's already halfway there.
And I was like, all right. Yeah. And so I bring him on. I let him go on stage. At the end of the show, I bring him on stage. There's a guy in the front row with these cowboy boots. I make him take off his cowboy boots. He puts on the boots, and they go all the way up to his penis. You know what I mean? And we play a country song and have him dance and do a dance off.
That's so funny.
And that's when, if anybody back in the day saw my shows, when we used to do lap dances, that's how it started. Because he did a dance, and then there were some girls up there that were like, oh, my God, we're getting married. And we're like, what? Get up here. And I had Brad
do lap
give
dances,
her lap dances.
In the cowboy boots?
In the cowboy that's boots, funny. And that's how that started. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, Brad Williams was, like, literally my discovery. Yeah, so,
that's so funny.
And here's the thing. When you see Brad, you can see me and Brad.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch Brad perform.
Right. He's got.
You go, he definitely was mentored by Carlos Mencia. Yeah. He's got the little tics, the little, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm not like most comics. I'm not intimidated by that. I don't see that and go, you know what I mean? I look at it and go, oh, wow.
It's a proud kind of thing.
Flattering, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Flattering, you know, when I watch that kind of stuff. So it's cool. But comedy right now is people need to laugh, bro. People need to laugh.
There's a lot to laugh at, too. There's a lot of things. Yeah.
And the beauty of my stuff right now is everywhere I go, people tell me, you have the most diverse audiences that we ever had at this club.
Wow.
But the beauty of that is, you know, I'll drop an N-bomb, and then you could see, like, part of the room tighten up. And then the black people in the room are laughing their asses off.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is like, oh, it's okay. And then I call them on it. Oh, but if the black people weren't here and blah, blah, blah. And so at a certain point, everybody just gives in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just has a good time.
Just has a great time and just enjoys themselves about anything. The only people that don't allow themselves to laugh are hardcore Trumpers. Hardcore Trumpers, no matter how good the joke is.
Oh, they won't laugh, yeah.
They'll get offended at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's the only one. And it pissed me off.
That's my president. Don't make fun of my president.
But you know what? Those people never got mad when I made fun of Obama.
Yeah.
First of all, I made fun of every president.
Right.
But with Obama, it was worse.
Yeah.
I mean, all I talk about with this guy is he's orange and Oompa Loompa. Like, it's not that bad.
Yeah. The obvious stuff.
I mean, with Obama, what was the joke with Obama that I was like, oof, even I went, oof. Oh, I said, yeah, we picked the whitest guy ever. How black is he? I said that what? Oh, here was the joke. The blackest part about Barack Obama is that he doesn't know his dad. Yeah. Like, that's the blackest part of who he is. And that was like, nobody got offended at that. Yeah. Nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's this thing where we were talking about earlier where these kids have been told that they're important, that they're special, that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody should make fun of you. You should live a life where you're always happy. It's like sad. My son the other day. He goes, Dad, I'm bored. Yeah, it's part of life, son. Being bored is part of life. Figure it out.
And also, it didn't become my job to make you happy all the time. I get that all the time from my kids. I'm bored. Well, figure out something to do. I don't know what you want. You have way more resources than I did. We have a pool. Go jump in the pool.
Right.
I don't know anymore. I have no problem telling my kids I like you more than the other one.
Yeah?
Yeah. The other day, my son is going to L.A. right now by himself at 17. He's on a plane right now.
To do what?
He's got business out there. He's doing, he's working with a rap artist and.
What?
Yeah, he's doing, I'm like, I'm proud of him.
He's doing music thing?
He's not doing it. He is managing somebody. And I'm very nervous about it, but very proud of him at the same time.
17 is pretty young for that.
He'll be 18 in August. Like and then my niece lives out there.
You said that like it's a difference. I love how you became a parent right in front of my face.
I told my wife was like crying, and I go, honey, in 60 days, we're not going to be able to tell him what to do anymore anyway. We might as well give him a good push, you know?
Sure.
So he's out there doing that, and everybody's like, well, he's pretty good. He's a smart kid. And I go, no, he's an idiot. I've seen him do some really dumb things.
Sure.
No, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. Just learn the hard way.
Are you scared, though?
No.
Yeah, right?
It'd be different if he was going out there to visit my niece or something, just spend a couple of days in L.A., but he's literally going out there to meet rappers, to go to a rap concert. That makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be around. Yeah, you know what, though?
He's not going to be in Compton, though.
You guys are talking about it. It's fentanyl. That's fentanyl. Scary, bro.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, all he does is smoke weed, but I don't know. You can get, you know.
Yeah, but the they're lacing fentanyl, weed yeah. with some of that stuff now. I mean, it's crazy how it's in so much stuff. I can't.
I'm worried about that geographically everywhere, so it isn't just L.A., so we'll see.
No, I know. Hey, listen, way back in the day, if somebody, you know, I mean, people still give me drugs all the time, right? That's just a part of it.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was like, all right, I'll smoke this joint or whatever. You right, can't no, do any can't of that stuff that. Anymore.
I've never taken listener food or drugs. I never know what's in either one of them. Somebody, I baked you this stuff. Well, thank you, but I'm not eating it. There's no way. I don't know what you did. Rub it on your nuts before you put it
in. Yeah, I mean, I take it all in.
Yeah, but I'm not eating it all.
Well, I've eaten some of it, so now I'm like, did I eat somebody's balls?
You most likely got somebody. Probably.
You think so?
I'll show that Carlos Mencia. I'll show him.
You think they're good enough actors that they trick me like they're fans and my dumb ass?
It's this cake I made you, Carlos.
It's a little tart. It's not lemon.
It's tart. That should be the best thing about it.
Man, I feel horrible.
Well, whatever. You live through it.
But I love that fans are so cool. You know what I mean?
I want to point out that I text Carlos when I found out that he was going to be here this weekend, and I said, Carlos, I am off Thursday and Friday. We're going to miss you, but do you want to go on with the show that's filling in for me? They're actually pretty good guys. And Carlos said, are you here Wednesday? And I said, yes. He goes, I'll come in early, and changed his flight to come in early.
Yeah.
That's I appreciate that.
My flight was delayed from LA to Charlotte. I was in B-19 and had to run all the way to B-18.
Jesus.
I was the last person to board, and they had already given my seat away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how close I was. And thank God I sat next to a dude that was really nice, and he does internet security, so it was interesting. But it was almost, you know, it could have been that guy that talks to you the whole time. And you're just like, oh.
I was trying to figure out, like, if I sit next to somebody famous, do I, because I don't normally talk to the people. I'll say, hi, how you doing? You know, when I sit down. And but if I go, hi, how you doing? All of a sudden, it's like, you know, somebody super famous. Do I not talk to them at all? Or do I choose? I don't know. I probably just wouldn't say anything.
Right. Well.
I'd just be quiet.
I normally get a window seat so that I can kind of disappear into the corner.
Away. Yeah.
But the guy took my seat, so they gave me an aisle seat. And I told the flight attendant, I'm like, you're the... She's like, what? He's like, you'll see. And of course, bro, somebody recognizes me from... No, I was the last one. So I sit down, and literally 30 seconds, I hear, Carlos! Carlos! And I turn around, and then he takes a picture.
I would never
And somebody else takes a picture, and they're all coming up asking for a picture. You know what I mean? And I was like, and the lady looked at me, is like, okay, I get it now. I get it. I was like, that's
not that you care. You just don't want to do it to everybody else around you either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you get like, well, who is that guy? It's like, it wasn't me. I wasn't asking for this.
Yeah.
So, but it's fun for them.
I told
the guy sitting next to me, I go, this is not my moment. It's theirs.
Right.
I could be nice for 30 seconds and they're going to leave going, oh man, he was nice.
Yeah.
Or I could be like, bro, leave me alone. I'm just flying. Then they're going to be like, meet your heroes. man, we took a picture of Carl. He's an asshole. Listen, I've gone to concerts and I beat him. Made him. It's like,
No. That's, you always got to be nice to the people who got you there.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't be nice to everybody.
True. Right? But you know who said it the best? Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller.
Yeah. What'd he say?
And they get off the stage after every show. And and they've been doing this since I was in high school. I saw them on Broadway when I was in high school. They get off the stage. They walk right down the middle of the aisle. And they go outside and smoke a cigarette at the end of the show. And they take a picture with everybody that wants to. And they walk out.
Yeah.
So I asked Penn Jillette. I said, you know, you've been doing this since I saw you in 1988.
Right.
And I saw you in 2015 in Vegas still doing the same thing with everything you get. If you can't take 5 seconds to be nice to the people who made you millionaires, then you're an asshole.
Yep.
And I said, yep, you're 100% right.
Yep. I completely agree. The only one, it happened one time where I was eating.
Yeah.
Like literally.
That's the part.
Literally.
You never remember,
going into my mouth.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, hey, can I take a picture? And I was like, hold on for a second.
Yeah.
You know, wipe my
Chew
mouth.
It out,
yeah, sure, man. Come in. I stand up, take a picture with him. And then he goes, looks over to a table with a bunch of people, and he goes, come on. I'm like, bro. And then he said, you owe us. We made you. right? And I looked at him and I said, let's get something straight.
Yeah.
I take pictures with you because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
Not because I owe you. You act like our transaction was only one way.
Right.
I made you laugh.
Right.
I provided you entertainment.
Yeah.
You don't like me.
You didn't raise me.
Because I'm some guy.
Yeah.
The minute I'm not funny, you're not going to come and see my shows. So let's not act that you're my guy forever, no matter what. God. You're not going to do me once I get fat and ugly. Right. So let's be honest. So this isn't what you know, because it pissed me off.
Can you picture ever saying
me.
That to somebody, no, a not, famous no, person, we made here. You? Yeah. Ugh. That'd be ridiculous.
But we're normal people. Yeah, there's a lot of idiots out there.
Oh, bro. Dude, that's... And you can't make fun of stupid people anymore.
Yeah, I do.
I do too, but I get in trouble for it now. Yeah. Because, you know, you can't call... Like, here's what it is. The minute we started having less kids and they became more and more important,
right.
We stopped being parents. It's like, how many times have you heard mothers go, this is my daughter, but she's really my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need a best friend.
No.
She needs a daughter. Plus, you're not her best friend. You're her daughter. Her best friend is going to introduce her to the guy who she's going to go down on.
Right.
Like, that's her friend.
That's a friend.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're she's a facilitator. You're a blocker. Like, yeah. No, you're, like, it's gotten ridiculous, bro. I swear to God, during COVID, I'm trying to figure out how to pay for my son's school. He goes to Campbell Hall High School in Studio City. All right. Just so if you want to check.
Right.
$42,000 for the ninth grade.
Holy cow.
Ninth grade. So during COVID, no work.
Yeah.
Going, all right. You know, money's invested and stuff. Yeah, don't have liquid. Trying to figure out, all right, how do I pay for this? All right. I'm taking my kid to school. He's in the back. He has a weird face. So I look back and I go, hey, look, is everything okay? And he goes, and I remember I was about to perform at the club inside the Ramada Inn in Jacksonville, right? The Comedy Zone. So I'm about to drop him off and he looks at me and he goes, Dad, I have anxiety. And I just put the brakes and I said, oh, you have anxiety? You, because I'm about to go to a goddamn show at a Ramada Inn to pay for your ass, dude. I snapped, bro. Snapped.
That's anxiety, son.
Yes, that's anxiety. Like, but he didn't get it. And it's my wife's fault because anytime our kids like start making a face, she'll be like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And whatever they say, she'll go, well, that's their feelings. I don't care. It's our job as a parent to go, you stubbed your toe. Get over
it. Deal with it, yeah.
Or right?
You're going to have a bunch of soft kids, man.
Well, that's what's happening. Like, I remember my dad. What would my dad do? If I exaggerated a little bit, he would pick me up and start running toward the car going, we got to take him to the hospital. He's going to die. And I just start like, dude, okay, I get it. Stop. And he'd be like, no, you were crying like you were going to die.
Right.
And they taught us how to view the world like from a, hey, it's not that bad perspective.
Yeah.
For these kids today, if it's not perfect.
They're a bunch of babies.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't understand. You don't get it.
I feel it's, they're a certain age. I wouldn't do it when they were younger, but I have no problem telling my kids you're idiots now.
Yeah,
my daughter is 11 now, so when she does, I go, well, yeah, it's because you're dumb. Don't do, you know, figure it out first before you do. You know, I would never say that to them when they were little, but now they know that.
My son's got titties when they were probably 11-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when it starts. That's when I allowed the rest of the family to do it, right?
That's
when I said, okay, it's okay. And they would do something stupid, and somebody in my family would be like, titty, you know what I mean? Like, that was the moment for them.
We have not, I'm going to be honest, most of this is my fault, and Galvin has pointed it out over the years several times. I make plans to do things, and then I don't really follow through with them because other things come up.
He's an optimistic liar, is what I call him.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Because my intentions are good.
I'm like you.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine so.
I mean what I, at that moment, I mean
right,
it.
Right.
100%.
Here's my plan. This works out. Listen, okay. Let me hear this one out.
Let's hear it.
Friday night.
Yes.
My son is out of town.
Okay.
My daughter and my wife are going to see Justin Timberlake on
Friday. Where's he at?
Down at the Amalie Arena, which is downtown Tampa.
Okay.
In that process, they will have to drive through Ybor City and on that area. I think I may come to the early show
and
get dropped off and then have them go to the concert and then come pick me up afterwards. I would like to try and do it. Right now, as the optimistic liar, that is my plan to do on Friday night.
Cool.
There's hours in between those days, so you never know what's going to happen.
Once you get past the circle of trust with me, that stuff doesn't matter. Because I know what you intend.
Yes.
And I also know that those things might not work out. Yeah. But I know that your heart is in the
right
place.
You're always good. You're always
correct.
Good.
So it doesn't matter to me whether you do or not in that respect.
Right, right. I know what you're saying.
There
would
be
like,
no negative. There would be no negative stuff. It was kind of like I was supposed to. It was like 3 or 4 years ago, I think I was here. And then somebody was performing. And I was going to drive from Tampa, from Orlando. And I really wanted to.
I know. And I kept saying.
I really wanted to. It was called Kreischer. We're going to go see Kreischer because he did a midday show or something like that.
Yes, he did the Call and Sick to Work show.
One. And I was going to come. I wanted to hang out. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to meet them. I wanted to hang out with you guys. It just didn't work out. You know what I mean? But my intent was 100%.
Okay, good. We're on the same page. So maybe I'll see you Friday. If not, I'm going to hit you up when we're in Vegas. And see if you're around there.
Yeah. Let me know. Let me know. 100%. Let me know. And you won't need a room, so it doesn't matter.
No. We're looking to go to the UFC to see McGregor fight. Although,
and when is that? What's the date?
The 28th. 29th. Sorry, it's a Saturday, the 29th
of July.
Of June. No, it's this month.
Oh,
the end of this month.
Oh, that'll be the weekend that I'm there.
Yeah. So hopefully
that'll be my first weekend.
Oh, good. It'll be there.
I'm a little scared.
Are you
lying? Hell yeah, dude. Because you never know, man. You never know.
Once you break one out, you're good.
Yeah, well, you know what? You get stuck in sometimes I get stuck in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, once I'm on stage, I know I'm going to make them laugh.
Right.
I know I'm going to get them going. I know I'm going to do my thing. But, you know, before that, there's always those insecurities.
That's good. Ralphie actually said to me, I said, do you ever get nervous before a show? And he said, do you get nervous before you do radio? And I go, no. And he goes, yeah, so I don't get nervous. He goes, am I concerned with how it's going to go? And he said, yes, before every show. And he goes, and when you're not concerned, that's when you don't care anymore. So you're still in a position where you care.
I call it nervous, but it's not negative nervous.
Right.
My heart goes faster.
Yeah. It's excited. You're excited.
I have to pee every 10 minutes or 10, you know what I mean? Like it starts. But here's the weird part. My brain literally functions faster.
Yeah.
When I'm about to go on
stage. Catch up to it, yeah.
Right? Like the synapses fire much quicker. The answers come just like that, whereas to when I'm off stage, they're not as fast. Everything changes once I get on stage.
Yeah.
The only thing I've realized is I sometimes don't smile enough on stage.
Yeah. Well, don't look mean. I get that all the time.
Yeah,
people say
you do that too. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just not a smiley guy, but I'm in a great mood all the time. So.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
So like, so I see my face, but I'm listening to this laughter. Like I posted something a couple days ago. That they literally are laughing for like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm just walking around, but I'm watching it going, smile, bitch. Yeah. Jesus, what's wrong with
you? You're into it. You're intense. That's a thing. You're into what you're doing.
Yeah. I love those trips, bro. I love seeing it. I love, you know what I mean? I love when the people that I do the jokes about that are affected by it come up to me and tell me, you know what I mean? Hey, thank you for talking about us. Thank you. There's nothing like somebody with cerebral palsy or some disease like that coming up to me after a show and saying, thank you for acknowledging us.
Well, that's good. That's
you know
good.
What I mean?
Well,
like, it feels so great. You know what I mean?
Plenty of weirdos to see in Ybor City this weekend. I guarantee you that.
Well, what I love about Ybor City, it's the only place in America where you literally go to one edge of the street and you walk into a bar and it's trans.
Yeah.
Then go to the next bar and it's country. Go to the next bar and it's rock and roll. Bam, bam, bam. Go to the next bar and it's just a regular DJ.
Vampires.
Yeah. And then go to the next bar, everybody's gay. Then to the next bar, everybody's trans. It is the craziest place to party like that. Anywhere in America.
It's a good time for sure. Bro, thank you for coming in early.
It's always
great to see you.
Oh, it's worth being here and not having anything to do for a day.
Good. Spanish. Do we have more shirts?
I'm sure we do, yeah.
Carlos Mencia, one of the number one Mike Calta Show shirts wearers in our entire guest portfolio.
Dude, I wear the hat so much. It's beginning to have that baseball player salty brim.
I need to make new hats, man. I haven't made hats since it's a long time. I need to make new hats. But we got shirts, so at least we'll hook it up there.
Yeah, we got it, man.
Bro, thank you. Go see Carlos at the Funny Bone in Ybor City this weekend. Go to TampaFunnyBone.com or CarlosMencia.com, and you can click over and buy your tickets there. And I am going to try and come by on Friday and see the show.
Perfect.
I sure as hell ain't going to Justin Timberlake, so we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, if you come, I promise I'll do the whole impression of the guy with cerebral palsy.
Okay.
Because I don't always do it. It just happens or it doesn't.
All right.
But if you come, I'll do it because it's crazy how when I do the full body walking whole thing, it's something to see, bro.
All right, good. Something to look forward to. We'll take a quick break. Actually, I'm not going to lie. We're going to take a long break because we're running behind, but we'll be back. It's Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to The Mike Calta Show. Now, a Bone traffic update from the Farrah and...
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.